Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dear White Woman, Please Come Home. Hand me your bias, and I'll show you our connection. By Kimberly Yolanda Williams. Foreword by Debbie Irving. Narrated by Debbie Irving and Kimberly Yolanda Williams. Dedication. This book is dedicated to all of my sisters whose stories fill these pages, and to the white women who need to be taught and reminded that we are family. Acknowledgements. I have to say that sitting down with these acknowledgements excited me and terrified me all at the same time. I'm excited because thinking how all of you or most of you have supported me throughout this process fills up my joy cup. Terrified because I'm so afraid of forgetting someone. So here goes nothing. To all of the people who listened to me and didn't tell me I was crazy for wanting to write this book, thank you. Your belief in me and in this project sustained me when I wasn't sure I could reach the finish line. To the people who told me I was crazy and shouldn't do it, thank you. It was your doubt and your advice to go after low-hanging fruit that pushed me when I lost steam and was too tired to get through. To my mom, for reading the manuscript, getting angry, traveling down memory lane with more of your stories, sharing feedback, and for teaching me so many of the life lessons shared in this book, thank you, and I love you. To my family for supporting me throughout this process, thank you. To Joy Lynn, who will say that's not her real name, thank you for weighing in on the cover. To Bobo, who will also say that's not his real name, thank you for always answering when I call you crying. To Mio, who actually will also say that's not his real name, thank you for our weekly chats. To our niece, Cheyenne, thank you for joining our family in the final stage of this project and for making our home feel even more complete. Thank you for family dinners, family reading time, family question time, family journal time, and family gem time. And yes, your cooking is on point too. To the readers in the focus groups who were among the first to lay eyes on this project, Shay Fleming, Vanessa Rojas, Martha Kiley, Jania Hoover, Lucia Kittredge, Emily Hummel, Keisha Palmer, Michelle Chalmers, Claire Tuttle, Catherine Rosenberg, Carolyn Lackey, and Jamie Krause. Thank you for your questions, your pushback, your emotions, and your willingness to sit with my manuscript in her infancy. To all of my sisters who validated these stories with your own stories and let me borrow them for this book, your tears, your laughter, and your child, please held me down. I could not have done this without you, pushing and encouraging me. When I wanted to give up because I was experiencing new encounters with white women and losing faith during this process, you held space for me and never let me quit. To the white women who showed up everywhere I looked on this journey, giving me just one more letter to write, thank you. That sounds shady as hell, but it's so true. Thank you for reaffirming the need for the gift of my book to the world. To the white women who are doing the work so much that they are standing against racism on days where I'm too tired to stand at all, I say thank you. To Maggie, thank you for helping me to see the value in my work so long ago, for helping push the project in its final stage, and for asking me to show up more authentically in our interactions. You are enough. To my publisher, my sister, and my friend, Debbie, whew, to think this all began around nasty-ass salads with lettuce as the one and only ingredient. Do you remember that? Disgusting. But actually, it truly began after Wynn bought us tickets to you and Faith English's event, Black and White Women Reconciling Our Past, Redefining Our Future, for my birthday. Not sure we ever even had the chance to discuss the inspiration for the book. For seeing the need for this book, for pushing my authentic voice when I went a bit too white, for challenging me to think bigger, for troubleshooting with me when I couldn't figure things out, for taking my text that came in at the wrong time, for anchoring me every step of the way, for asking me to tell you the unfiltered truth, and for making space for it, for owning your whiteness when it showed up, for making the publishing journey memorable in every way, and for being my sister. I say thank you. Bonus track. Thanks for letting me borrow Bruce for the last round of editing. To my editor, Sean Dale, Lord, you were like a breath of fresh air. Meeting with you felt like coming home for a family reunion every single time. You pushed me and challenged me even when I thought I was already done. You officially convinced me that I used the words sis and that way too much, LOL. Your passion for my project made me believe even more deeply in it. The things you asked me to interrogate and to wrestle with took me to new and undiscovered places in my heart. You are such a resource beyond the editing process, too. Every writer should have you in their corner. To my formatter, Ebony Rose of Ignited Ink 717, your energy makes me believe anything is possible. You took the pages of my manuscript and breathed life into my vision. You are so good at what you do. Even when I didn't know the words to use to describe what I was seeing, you took that and ran with it. You the realist. Thank you. To my cover designer, Brad, wow, wow, and wow. I wanted to be in love with the cover, and I am. Thank you for making my cover call to the readers it was designed to reach. I could not have imagined that the cover of my book would bring tears to my eyes and take my breath away like it has. It's certainly been a journey to creating the right one. Thank you. To my colleagues who listened to me read letters and cried, laughed, and sat in silence with me, thank you. To the DEI directors from all over the country who have supported me along this journey, thank you for who you are in my life. To my brothers who hold me down and answer whenever I call, Ray, Bobo, Mijo, Percy, and Bertrand, thank you for all of our chats, your encouragement, your faith in me, and your support. To the tribe of women who hold me down with random texts, calls, emails, lunches, spa days, laughs, hugs, cards, I'm thinking about you gifts, weekend desserts and gummies, Albanese only, of course. Thanks to Jania for that. Nyasia, Shelley, Monet, Lydia, Happy, Mama Linda, Joe, Carla, Arnica, Valerie, Nanette, and Vanessa Mujer. Thank you for always looking out for me, challenging me to be better, demanding that I take care of myself and put myself first, and for loving me for who I am. To Jocelyn, thank you for jumping in the fire with me, no matter how hot it is. You literally get me from point A to point B every day without complaining about how busy my life is. You consistently push me to be a better me by seeing the light that I carry inside me even when I can't see my way in the darkness. You protect me when others seek to violate my boundaries, including me. Our laughs, chats, and even freakouts when my schedule abruptly changes are the best, LOL. You are the engine that gets me from Monday morning to Friday evening in one piece and at peace. I couldn't have done this without you. Thank you. To my counselor, thank you for walking me through the valleys of sadness and brokenness along this journey. For helping me to access the power and resilience of my ancestors in order to heal from each and every microaggression and story revealed in this book. For helping me to find joy in bringing this gift to the world while processing all the pain it brought up. For helping me to learn and to clearly see what does and does not belong to me. For teaching me to see just how worthy I am and simply because I exist. Thank you for showing me how to return to my body and to ground myself when my inner empath takes over. Thank you for teaching me to celebrate myself, to laugh harder, to resist by resting, and for so much more. I say thank you. To those who, no matter how hard I tried, I forgot to mention, thank you for who you are to me and how you show up in my life. I love you. To my rock, Wynn, you are my smile and my strength. You believed me when we came home from that workshop and I told you I'd write this book, even though I kind of thought I was joking. You trusted me to tell the truth and to write it in a way that it would bridge gaping divides. You held me when the letters sunk me to dark and sad places that wounded me. You shared your own stories again and again, even though they made you cry. You listened to each new letter and held pain and doubt alongside hope and healing. You held my hand when I sat in the car crying about this project. You sang Backstreet Boys songs to me when I needed a good laugh. You loved me when life made me feel like love was impossible. You gave me the strength to cross the finish line. I'm so lucky and blessed to love you and to be loved by you. You have shared me with countless others, and yet you make me feel like it's just the two of us. And yes, we are enough. Thank you.
Forward. A few years back, Kimberly and I sat at a conference lunch table, laughing over our shared disappointment in the day's quote-unquote salad offering, a lonely plate of iceberg lettuce. Amidst the joy of running into one another and the levity of the salad laugh, she mentioned to me a book she'd started writing. It's a collection of letters from me to white women, she explained. Well, actually, a white woman, she clarified. Here, I'll read you one. Somewhere around word 10, as I crunched my flavorless lettuce, I felt my eyes well up. I understood that she was trying, in a way I'd never seen attempted, to tap into white women's longing to be connected to intimate sisterhood beyond racial borders. As a white woman, my own longing sprung to the surface with a rawness I'd never felt before. Alongside it came a sickening pang. A thud of a reminder of the devastating role we white women have played in our centuries-old pattern of stepping on black and brown women to preserve and advance our own interests, while exploiting our sisters of color to maintain and enhance our physical and emotional comfort. That Kimberly, despite this history, had summoned the grace to throw white women a lifeline in an effort to find one another anew, filled me with a sense of wanting, no, needing, to back her up. Would you ever consider using my imprint to publish this? I asked. Without hesitation, she answered, let's do it. And here we are. Eager to test my theory that Kimberly's approach touched on something raw and new, I asked if I could share the letter she'd read to me with a few white women friends. Sure enough, they reacted as I had, with a visceral tear up. I didn't know any black women had any interest in being friends with me, one said. I felt as if a family secret had been revealed. Dear White Woman, Please Come Home is an invitation for white women longing for authentic friendship with black and brown women, the kind of friendship with no place for secrets, the kind of relationship where truth-telling is welcome even when it hurts. This invitation is not for the faint of heart, however. It comes with a make-or-break challenge. We don't want you to come home until you're ready. Can we count on you to do that? Her end-of-chapter questions give us the homework we white women need to start or deepen that process. I especially appreciate Kimberly's use of letters to a singular, quote-unquote, missing white sister. White women, that's us, all of us. So indoctrinated in the myth of individualism, we too often forget to see ourselves as part of a group, as sisters. Kimberly invites us to change that, to shift our hearts and minds from a me mode to an us mode as we consider the impact our distance, complacency, silence, perceived superiority, and controlling tendencies have on our black and brown sisters. May this book serve as an affirmation for women of color, whether or not you're still rooting for us white women to pull through. Kimberly's stories center the black brilliance, black joy, and day-to-day ups and downs that are the context in which white women's predictable patterns of slighting, stepping on, misunderstanding, and looking through our sisters of color so abruptly and painfully land. As a white woman, it has taken me a long time to appreciate the immense risk it takes for a person of color, gender aside, to share his, her, their truth with us white people. We have a long track record of denying. Really? That doesn't sound quite right. Minimizing. Just ignore her. Nitpicking. Well, what time of night was it? Judging. You are so sensitive. And challenging. Just let me play devil's advocate for a minute. The experiences of our brothers and sisters of color. We've done an exquisite job of sending signals that we don't care. All you ever talk about is race. We can be disappointing, exhausting, and rage-inducing. Kimberly's attempt to penetrate this white wall with the vulnerability of painful personal memories is nothing short of a monumental leap of faith. With this in mind, I urge all white women to remind yourselves and one another that these stories are gifts to be treasured, not nitpicked or judged or minimized or challenged or denied. Every letter is based in real-life events she or one of her sisters of color has experienced with a white woman just like me or you. Let's use them to know better so we can do better. I feel in Kimberly's approach a rare ability to meet us white women where we are. And then give us a push. For some, this will feel like a nudge. For others, a shove. Either way, let the momentum move you. Welcome her challenge to figure out what's expected of us. Lean into the effort she's made to help us help ourselves so we can show up authentically and consistently for our sisters of color. Kimberly's hours and years of leading workshops to help white women better understand ourselves and our role in white supremacy feel both like a love song to sisterhood and a backbreaking labor of love. My hope is that white women will respond to her call with courage and vigor, and that black and brown women will feel seen and centered in her work, ultimately able to exhale a bit as we white women learn how to share the burden of racism. Can you imagine what could be possible if women across racial, class, and other socially constructed borders could unite in the struggle to create organizations and societies where family, food, shelter, and well-being were centered? Where basic human rights were treasured priorities as opposed to resented obligations? The world needs our loving care, and we women, we need each other. First, though, we need to understand the snares that trip us up. White women, I invite you to make yourselves a cup of tea, settle in with a notepad, read with an open heart and mind, and answer Kimberly's end-of-chapter questions with all the thoughtful honesty you can muster. Gather your women friends and family and wonder together how different your life and our world could be if we drop the superior-inferior roles handed to us and create something altogether new. Women of color, I truly hope you have a white sister or two who you still believe in, and that this book could be your nudge to them. For all of us, may those of us looking for one another find the sisters we want and need. And from there, may we find the courage and endurance to hang together long enough to discover the possibilities and to change the narrative. Debbie Irving.
1. From my heart to your hands. Dear white woman, I think you're out there looking for me. I know I'm looking for you. I tried to deny it for a long time. It just hurt too much to look and look for you and feel like you couldn't see me, like you looked right through me. That workshop is where it all changed. Sitting in a session designed for Black women and white women to connect, communicate, and heal generations of brokenness, distrust, and unforgiveness. I heard this phrase repeatedly from every white woman who spoke. I didn't know. I must admit that by the third time I heard a white woman say she didn't know how Black women felt, I started to doubt the level of honesty in the room. After the workshop, I went home questioning how they could possibly know if we as women of color have been trained to withhold the truth from them, if the real, raw, unfiltered truth was something we had been taught not to share for fear of fragility, retaliation, being ostracized, etc., it was then that I decided I would write this book. And in it, to tell the truth. This book is written on behalf of the women of color in my family, my circle of friends, my colleagues, and the women of color existing throughout communities all over this country and the world. Now, please know that Black and brown people are not a monolith, so I do not speak for all of us. And while I am unable to promise that all of us will agree with the words written here, I can tell you that I have met way too many women who do feel this way. These women's stories have inspired this book, and their voices are included in my quest for racial healing. While many of my sisters have given up on finding you, I have not. I continue to search for you each day and to look for signs of your return. I truly believe that I will find you and we will reconnect like the sisters we were meant to be. I dream of seeing you, embracing you, and laughing or crying at all that we've missed since we were separated. Now, a little about my why. This is what keeps me going. It's the belief that hundreds of years of silence, disrespect, and disconnection were a part of a system handed to us instead of one that we created. We have participated in and allowed this separation in order to survive, but I'm not sure it's what either of us ever really wanted. We learned to suppress the desire to connect beyond the borders established for us. We learned to turn away from each other when our eyes met. You even learned to ignore my pain, no matter how great. But that's not you, sis. I have to believe that. That's why I look forward to the day when we will embrace one another. While I know that the sister bond is one that can be filled with ups and downs, and may even feel like a new concept to you, I still believe in it. I still believe in you. I still believe in us. Now listen, my letters may make you laugh, cry, and even question your sanity, but they will consistently fill you with truth and love. They come from my soul and have landed in your hands because you are also searching for me. Missing you, your sister. P.S. With the distance between us, you may have forgotten our native tongue and be confused with some of the language used in this book. To make things easier for you, I have defined some of these words at the end of each letter, starting with the word sister. Sister, a term used among Black women for Black women. These letters are written by a Black woman on behalf of women of color to white women, our sisters. Please don't ever refer to yourself as a sister. This title refers to a deep connection that, in my experience, most white women don't feel for one another, a soul-level connection. If you are questioning what that means or feels like, you probably don't experience it. Because the smile I'm wearing right now as I write this, just thinking about the bond I share with all of my sisters, is not something that can be put into words. Even if a Black woman gifts you this term, tread softly when trying to use it around other Black women. Your closeness with a select few sisters does not instinctively transfer to fondness from all of us. Just my opinion, though. 2. Let's clear this up. Dear white woman, before I share the long journey of this search with you, I just want to clear some things up. First, no matter how far-fetched these stories seem, they are all grounded in truth and told through the lens of imaginative nonfiction. So when you get to a place of doubt, come back to this letter and reread these words. This next point must be written here because I fear that your whiteness will prevent you from receiving these messages and from truly hearing my heart's call for your return. One of the major tenets of white culture is to approach everything from a head space instead of a heart space. So I can already see some of you questioning the idea or nature of this sister relationship. Was this person actually taken? Is this person me? Is this your real sister? Is she your half-sibling? and so on and so forth down the rabbit hole. Both of my parents are African American and did not birth, foster, or adopt any white children. The relationship of sisterhood between us is one that Black women innately share. Walking down a sidewalk, a comment like, "Nice dress, sis," is completely normal. It's to say, "I see you and I'm here for you if you should ever need me." I am your protector, your supporter, and your friend on our best day. On our worst day, I am your fiercest competitor and will stop at nothing to destroy you if we are fighting for a seat at the table where they only have room for one of us. I am all of these things and none of them on any given day. I am your sister. So I want you to dig deep and to suspend your attachment to practicality and realism and to come with me on this fluid and nonlinear journey of the heart. With love, your sister. 3. It's your face on the milk carton. Dear white woman, I still remember the day you were taken away from us. I remember it like it was yesterday. When I think of it, I tear up and I long to see you, to hold you, to laugh with you, and to cry with you. I want to hear every detail of what happened that day. I'd like to know who it was that convinced you that we weren't family. Who took you? Who changed you? Who erased your memory of who I am in your life? Who taught you to see me the way you do? To speak to me in such strange ways? To look down on the way we lived? Who convinced you that we were competition instead of compassion? Separation instead of support? Foe instead of friend? Who filled your heart with these lies? I remember this day was just like any other. We arrived at school, we went to our classes, and met up on the playground like we always did. You told me about the first half of your day, and I told you about mine. We played on different playground equipment, and you always defended me when kids made fun of me because I was too chubby to use the monkey bars, the jungle gym, or the seesaw. My favorite was the swings, although it was difficult to get on, considering I was the shortest in my class. And it eventually became yours, too, because it was the one thing on the playground we could do together. We went back to class for the second half of the day, and I waited for you in front of our bus stop like I always did. Mr. Brooks, the bus driver, yelled for me to get on, and I told him I was waiting for my sister. He yelled and yelled, threatening to leave us both, and I mustered up all the courage and screamed back, "No! I'm waiting for my sister just like Mom taught us to do." Mr. Brooks pulled off, and I waited. I waited for you. And I waited for you. And I waited for you. The principal and a few other teachers came out and noticed I had not boarded the bus and was still there. She yelled at me too. "Kim, now why on earth would you miss your bus? You know your mom works way too hard to have to come up here to pick you up like this. Did your sister leave without you?" How could she even ask me something like that? You would have never gotten on the bus and not checked to make sure that I was there, right? Right. You would have never left me, right? Mrs. Cunningham took me into her office to call Mom. My mother was mad, and she yelled at me about us missing the bus. When she finally came up for air, I explained that I did what she always told me to do. I waited for you, but you never came. Mom and Dad came up to the school, and the police were waiting with me. There were so many of them, so many officers, so many neighbors, so many questions, and crawling down my face, so many tears. I had no idea what was going on. but I knew it was bad. I knew it was wrong.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?